Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast. Today is July 30th, 2021. The Coconuts Podcast is your home for top trending news and pop culture from all across Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. I'm Nurul Azlia.
And I'm Summer Lee.
Woo! Hello, Summer Lee.
Hello, Nurul Azlia. What is up with you?
Not much. Same old, the usual. I might be the rare few individuals on this earth that hasn't really watched Olympic.
My what God, I gotta join you in that corner, right? Because like I made my mind up to go and I was like, you know what, I really want to watch volleyball. The teams look cool as shit. I'm like, I gotta see whose uniform is the cutest. And then I totally forgot. Then I was like, let me check the schedule. Oh right, these matches are over. Well, I'll try again in 4 years. It's okay.
I know. I think actually they should make the schedule a little bit simpler, huh? I
mean,
I follow like festival schedules, and there's so much more easier to follow. This one's just like, oh, so many.
That's
like
why
I am planning like a whole school schedule like that.
Exactly. Have we learned nothing from Coachella? Come on, man. Just kidding.
one of the sports that I was actually excited to watch was skateboarding. I completely missed both the men's and the women's one. It was like Sunday morning, I'm like sleeping, still in bed. Then Monday morning, like, you start work and then that's it. Okay, Brazil girl already got her silver medal.
It's okay, Nora, we'll try again in 4 years. Don't worry. I just see the updates on twitter.com. Beautiful site. Then people are like, why is everybody falling down in the skateboarding events? Then I'm like, oh shit, I would want to see that. Damn it. I wish I would have tweeted that. It's okay. Next time.
Are they falling? I mean, but it's skateboarding. That's what you do. You fall. You get up. You skate.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it like half of the sport? I would imagine.
Yeah. They're still getting used to it. Right? It's a new It's a new Olympic sport. I don't know why it took so long to get to Olympics, but yeah. Woohoo, Japan. Thanks for being the first.
Yay, good on you.
Advertise with our in-house agency Grove. Fast, funny, digital. Join forces with us to slay buzzwords, rise above the noise, and sow the seeds of something great. Get in touch via coconuts.co/grove.
And our top stories for the week. We start off in Bali, which sees its deadliest pandemic month yet as hospitals start to fill up. Oh no. But yes, Indonesia's beloved holiday destination of Bali is experiencing the most devastating wave of the COVID-19 outbreak yet. And though the rapid escalation appears manageable so far, experts are warning officials that they have to step up their measures in order to prevent an even more devastating outcome. Holy shit. But yeah, the island has been reporting around 1,000 new infections every day this past week as hospitals are starting to fill up. Even this doctor at Udayana University Hospital in Jimbaran told Coconuts that their beds have all been occupied. And this hospital is just among several that have run out of beds to treat COVID-19 patients in Bali. Though this guy, this doctor, gave his reassurance that there are still enough hospitals in the province to handle the recent spike in cases. At this point, the alarming rise in coronavirus cases and deaths in recent weeks have not led to a total collapse of the local healthcare system yet, but doesn't negate the fact that more and more patients have had to look at several hospitals before securing a bed for treatment. Holy shit. So Heru Lelono, a 66-year-old Gianyar resident, had to try 3 hospitals to find a bed for his 72-year-old sibling, who had tested positive for the coronavirus. And he went to Siloam Hospital in Kuta and Udayana University Hospital. And he was told that there was no room available at both. And then it was only, recently that he was finally informed that there was a bed available at Sangla General Hospital in Denpasar. About having to find a bed at different hospitals, more and more Bali residents are sharing similar anecdotes online, illustrating the need for more caution. And the figurative alarm bells for Bali sounded, even though relatively faintly, last weekend after health agency chief Ketut Swajaya confirmed reports about an oxygen crisis on the island. The officials said last Friday that there has been an oxygen shortage since the 14th of July, even though it was only a couple days prior that he told local media outlets that there was no such shortage, merely a delay in deliveries. What is the story, girl? Yeah, real freaking sad. I don't know what to think of this. Because if there are no more hospitals, what do you do?
I know, right? I just hope it doesn't. They don't suffer the same fate as some of the people in Thailand who have been dying at homes and dying in the streets. It's like this shortage of beds is happening in Bali, it's happening in Thailand, and it's happening in Malaysia as well. Yeah. And then there's one thing that I noticed is similar in terms of the way the government responded. Like in Bali, you mentioned in the article that there was a bit of a flip-flopping. Like the official said that there's no problem, and then a few days later, like, okay, there's a problem. It's like, it's very similar to what happened in Malaysia recently about this overloaded hospital. It ran out of beds, and then there were people just lying on on makeshift beds at the outside the emergency department, which is where the ambulance is supposed to arrive. That's like on the service road. So the government said like, oh, there's no problem, but you know, photos and videos are showing otherwise. It's like, it's very frustrating. Like, you wanna, what can you do? Like, you bring it up to, you surface the issue, make it known, hoping that people would be hold accountable for it. But they just switch the narrative. They just anyhow switch the narrative. The evidence there, I don't know. I'm just angry.
Fake news. It'd be that way. It's fake news. Okay, like, y'all are so good at gaslighting. Is that what being a politician means? I'm going to get puff mud. I mean, for legal purposes, that was a joke.
Yeah, but in terms of the oxygen supply, I know that Singapore has sent out oxygen supply to Indonesia ever since it became public that Indonesia is suffering from lack of oxygen supply. So I know it might not solve the problem completely, but it's just kind of nice to know that Singapore is somehow helping our friend. Yeah. I just hope they have more bits.
Same.
Yeah. Anyways, another sad story in Thailand. This one's really heartbreaking. I read it multiple times and it still breaks my heart to see these two girls. So in Thailand, two Thai girls, their siblings, were bound for orphanage after watching their mom die at home. They were only 7 and 9 years old and they are expected to move to their new home, which is an orphanage southeast of Bangkok, after being forced to watch their sick mother die. They were found in their house right next to their 44-year-old mom's lifeless body. The mother was identified as Apaporn Sutra Rachun, as word spread of their tragic story. She worked as a masseuse, the mother. Now hospitalized with COVID-19 themselves, the girls will go to live at the Samut Prakan shelter for children and families. It was just days ago that the mom complained of chest pain, difficulty breathing and dizziness. And she began coughing up blood and went to a doctor, but the doctor only gave her pills to take at home. Then her condition grew worse, expectedly, until her death on Monday. So when health workers came to retrieve the body, wheeled their mother's body away, you could see the two girls crying and just looking at each other. A photo of the two girls looking at each other has surfaced online. Health officials has not confirmed why the mom died, but they believe that the mom had died of a coronavirus infection. Her body has been taken to a hospital for an autopsy. Both of the girls tested positive for COVID-19 and are being treated at Bang Phli Hospital. Since there was no immediate family to care for the girls, the government had to step in. This incident kind of caused quite of an outrage. A lot of people were questioning on social media about the government's mishandling of the pandemic. And the fact that, you know, this heartbreaking incident is happening on the back of a growing number of people dying at home and dying in the streets and, you know, medical facilities just being overtaxed.
It's so sad. They're like little babies.
Yeah. I hope they come out of this stronger.
Yeah.
that's what I wish for everyone, really, of this pandemic.
Right.
Just to come out of it stronger and, you know.
For sure. Yeah. Over in Hong Kong, This Hong Kong gold medalist will be showered with millions in cash and a lifetime of free MTR rides. Oh, to be fencing champion Edgar Chung Ka Long, whose victory gave Hong Kong a historic Olympic win. And he's walking away with more than just his gold medal. He's walking away with cash prizes and a host of freebies. And yeah, he's of course become an overnight star. And through the government's athlete incentive awards scheme, the 24-year-old Olympic medalist is receiving a sum of 5 million Hong Kong dollars. That's around 640,000 USD. The tiered scheme awards athletes who place 8th and above with individual cash prizes starting from $312,500. So that's around 40,000 USD. The chairperson of the Hong Kong Sports Institute, Lam Tai Fai, is giving Chung 2.5 million Hong Kong dollars. That's around 320,000 USD. After promising Chung and other graduates of the school, named after Lam in 2018, that they would become homeowners if they ever won an Olympic medal, according to Citizen News. With enough money to buy a flat, furniture retailer Price Right also announced on Facebook that they will sponsor free furniture and home decor for Chung's future dream home. Oh my god, so he gets a house, he gets free furniture? Good for him! And of course, public transport companies are also offering generous rewards. For example, the MTR announced that Chung will receive a lifetime of free rides, while the other Olympic athletes will also get free train rides for a year. Oh, okay, so gold medal, lifetime train, lifetime rewards of train rides, free train rides, other Olympic athletes, free for a year. Okay, okay.
The guy basically strike lottery lah, huh?
Basically lah, huh? He don't have to move. Like, you move anywhere, it's free. You want a house, it's free. Furniture, free. I guess you just have to pay for toilet paper, which is kind of doable. But yeah, on top of that, if he wishes to get a tattoo parlor has the star athlete covered. He'll receive free tattoo services for life. Dude can get every single alphabet and, like, I don't know, number possibly in the entire world tattooed free. Go and do it, please.
He went draw himself fencing on his arm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Self-portrait, whatever.
Man, I wonder what Singaporeans would get if they win in the Olympics. Free Milo, I guess. Free Milo for a year.
Yeah.
Free Yost drink for a year.
Uh-huh. Chicken rice. Free... I don't know. I'm assuming.
Free EasyLink top up.
Do you get a house though? Like, housing is so expensive here. I'm like, do you get a free house?
I don't think Singapore will give a house.
Damn it.
I don't know. Maybe. Let's see. Let's see when... Well, we wait for a Singaporean to win first. Huh?
Oh, so let's go, Joseph Schooling. Waiting. Let's go.
All right. In Jakarta. Wacky, more wacky news out of Jakarta. Fritters wrapped in COVID-19 test result terrifies Indonesians.
Oh, Lord.
Yep. So, fritters is one of the most popular street snacks in Indonesia. And sellers have a habit of using scrap pieces of paper from reused documents, which now they obtain from God knows where, and newspapers to pack those unhealthy, tasty, deep-fried goodness. It's so bad, but it's so good. Such is the massive spread of COVID-19 in the country that it was only a matter of time before deep-fried banana, plantain, tofu, tempeh, cassava came wrapped in somebody's positive COVID-19 test result. Yep. The incident apparently happened at Depok, West Java, and a photo of the paper that was used to wrap the fritters has gone viral. If you look at the paper, it's really a document of the lab test result of a woman belonging to this woman who was 63 years old and had taken a swab test. And on the paper itself, it says that the result of the test is positive.
Oh,
you can actually see the word positive on the paper, which is obviously now oil stained because it was used to wrap the fritters. So the whole thing naturally opened up the floodgates for many jokes among netizens, but the incident has illustrated how personal information is so easily misused here in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to talk about doxing? This shit is out of control in Indonesia. This isn't the first time that someone's private information has been used as wrapping paper in the country. Quite recently, someone pointed out how the fritters that they bought was packed in a photo paper that was a photocopy of someone else's identity card. Champion or what? And then there was this other person who bought a bag of fritters that was wrapped using an air sickness bag.
What airline? I need to know. Is this like guerrilla marketing, you know? Like, this is the airlines trying to slip their advertising in, like, goreng pisang.
It's so crazy. Hopefully, this will serve as a reminder that we really ought to destroy our documents before throwing them away to avoid them being misused by others. Or, you know, we find a second life as a gorengan bag. Gorengan means fritters in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We wish whoever who tested positive in that document a speedy recovery.
And yeah, if y'all want to start like using personal information, if you want to start doing bank account passwords, let's do it. Yep. You need to get me a bag of banana fritters right now with your bank account statement and password and login. Thank you so much.
Lol. But you know, in Singapore, like something similar that I noticed happening in Singapore is the trash that we throw away. We buy things online and then like all these parcels have our address and our name on it. And then when we throw them, sometimes people forget to remove their personal details. And then it's like for everyone to see the rubbish bin.
My God. And nowadays there are like so many like spammers, right? They should just go through the trash, to be honest. Like you can find like a billion Shopee bags or something.
Yeah. Like data leak, what? Just go to the rubbish bin.
Mm-hmm. Over in KL. Labuan becomes the first Malaysian territory to declare herd immunity. Baik Labuan. But yeah, a federal territory in Malaysia has hit 80% of its adult population fully vaccinated against COVID-19. The first in the country to declare herd immunity. Back to my normal voice. So Labuan has administered the full vaccination regimen to nearly all of the adults listed as eligible under its national COVID-19 immunization program. So the island's COVID-19 Immunization Task Force, or CITF, and Disaster Management Committee, or DMC, said that it was a difficult task to execute, but attributed its success to great teamwork. This man said teamwork makes the dream work, period. Okay.
Hoot hoot.
Lovely. So yeah, he also added that the number of people vaccinated in June was lower than 14,000, but it rose drastically to 40,800 people in 37 days and to the figure today. Baik Labuan.
Malaysia boleh.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go, neighbors. Let's get it. I guess the rest of Malaysia. Let's cepat. Let's go. We can do it. Teamwork, remember? You heard the guy.
Yeah, so Labuan is basically, it's an island of its own. It's not exactly a state, but it's referred to as a federal territory under Malaysia. So it seems like it's the only location in Malaysia that's having some good news and is moving a little closer to recovery, while KL and Selangor is just...
Oh, honey.
Well, I'm just going to sigh. Sigh.
Yeah, that's all you need.
But yeah, I think first of all, the government needs to get the shit together.
Mm-hmm. That's all. Stop blaming foreigners, sir.
Yeah. Just move on to Manila. Okay, so in Manila, Filipinos with spouses or children with foreign passports will no longer require an entry exemption document to travel to the Philippines starting 1st August, which is on Sunday. Parents of Filipino citizens are also included in the partial lifting of entry requirements. Since the beginning of the pandemic, foreign family members were required to procure EEDs, which is the entry exemption document from the government, in addition to valid visas. These new guidelines were announced by the Immigration Bureau following the updated resolutions from the Interagency Task Force for the Management of Infectious Diseases that called for the easing of travel requirements. This applies to foreigners who are not traveling with their Filipino family member, as those who are traveling with their Filipino spouse, parents or children may be admitted into the Philippines for a year without need for a visa under the Balik Bayan program, clarified BI Commissioner Jamie Morente. But with concerns about the Delta variant at an all-time high, people traveling from countries where the variant has been detected are still banned from entry. The list currently includes India, Pakistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Oman, United Arab Emirates, Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand.
Bars.
Okay. Bars. All right. For those who apply, start planning your travel.
Travel. Remember that girl. Oh.
What is that fictitious being? Never heard of it.
A segment of my imagination? Who is she? Over in Singapore, a bit of sad news. This Singapore teen died after a basketball backboard fell on him in Bedok. So this 17-year-old boy died after this basketball hoop that's traditionally in like those public areas near housing estates where you can play basketball or whatever. And this happened in Bedok South. So police told reporters that they were alerted to the incident near Block 18, Bedok South Road at 8:43 p.m. The unidentified teenager was unconscious when taken to the nearby Changi General Hospital, where he died of his injuries. The East Coast Town Council management in charge of the area said that the court has been closed for checks. And in a statement, they said, "Our heart goes out to the victim and his family, and we will work closely with the relevant agencies to provide support and assistance to them." So the Singapore Civil Defence Force said that paramedics performed CPR on him while on the way to the hospital, and police investigations are ongoing. And the East Coast Town Council is assisting with the police with the investigation, and they're also appealing for eyewitnesses to come forward. And the management will also conduct checks on other basketball courts in the neighborhood. So a two-minute video posted by a YouTuber, King Cook, showed the backboard fall into its side while a man tries to resuscitate the boy. Bystanders were there while emergency responders attended to him. And of course, if you have witnessed the incident, please contact the Bedok Police Division, please. Yeah, it's real sad.
It's quite strange because I've crossed that area a couple of times. Mm. Like when I take the bus or I take the cab, like they were both there. And I see people play basketball there, and that structure has been there.
Mm.
Like for a while. And I always thought that the structure looked like it was a bit slanted, but it seems like nothing has happened.
Oh no.
Like there have been no accidents. I see people still playing there like normal. So I thought, okay, maybe because I don't play basketball, so what do I know, right? Like, is it supposed to be slanted or not? But yeah, so I didn't think that it was a problem until this happened. And I feel like, damn, it was something that could have been avoided if those who were responsible had conducted checks.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if it's us like staying indoors most of the time, then maybe, you know, we haven't really checked these as much as we should have. Mm. Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. There was I'm not sure if you read, there was an exclusive story of someone, a reporter interviewed the mom of the boy who passed away, sadly. And the mom, obviously she's grieving. And she actually said that she works, she's in her 60s and she works, and because her son is no longer around, she seems to find it like difficult to find that motivation to go to keep going. Yeah.
I'm so freaking sad.
She said along the lines of she just didn't know. But she's always been working for her son, and now that her son's gone, like, she doesn't know what she's working for anymore. And it just broke my heart when I read it. Like, oh, God.
Same. There were tears. I hope she's feeling okay. And that she has, like, a good outlet to cope. Oh.
Mm. Yeah. And the time and space to mourn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In Myanmar, so the Myanmar's junta officially overturns outcome of 2020 election that they didn't like. Of course, I am not surprised. Oof. But the fact that they came forward to like make it official is just like, wow, the audacity.
Mm-hmm.
So the junta-controlled Union Election Commission announced via state media that the results of the 2020 election had been annulled. Months after the military's proxy party placed a distant second, leading it to complain the election was rigged and ultimately seized power. Sounds like somebody.
Sounds like.
The commission said that the outcome was cancelled as the vote was unlawful and unfair. What the hell? So the commission chairman said the cancellation was made because the vote violated the constitution and was inconsistent with the rules and regulations and was not free or fair. Of course. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. State media reports said investigations of township voters found more than 11.3 million fraudulent voters as well as lost and fake ballots. Oh, show me the evidence. Where's the receipt? Mm-hmm. Election observers from the Asian Network for Free Elections, Carter Center, European Union and other groups deemed the election was credible because, yeah, people came out to vote. The National League for Democracy, or NLD, was faulted for abusing its power as the ruling power to campaign, censoring the opposition and blocking stateless groups such as the Rohingya from voting. I'm just shaking my head right now, if only you can see.
That's why. I mean, like, this sounds real familiar. Like, a certain, like, orange president also said that, you know, the votes are not counted. Based on what evidence, sir?
Yeah, show me the receipts. Speaking mm-hmm. of that orange president, his son-in-law decided to leave politics and set up an investment firm.
Were you ever why are you there even in politics?
Yeah, exactly. Why are you even... Oh, God. Yeah, whatever, man. Do whatever you rich guys do.
Yeah, man. You want attention, is it? You want to come out and say you're no longer doing politics? You never did shit. You were just there. A mouthpiece. I say what I said.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to say anymore. I'm angry.
It's okay. Same.
Okay. And that's all for top stories. Our special guest this week is Jakarta editor Nadia Hamid, who is going to tell us all the tea. She's going to spill us the tea about this family drama that has gotten all Indonesian obsessed. Cue music. Why are you so obsessed with me? Okay.
Beautiful.
Yay! All right. Hey. Thanks so much for joining us, Nadia.
Hi, guys.
Oh, yeah, there you are. You're in Jakarta now, right?
Yeah.
What's going on there? Like, how's life in the JKT? You haven't been there in a long time.
Well, I actually went to the mall this morning for
Is it
my
like your first time in forever?
For my monthly bank visit, and like, everything was closed.
Everything except the bank.
Except the bank and supermarket and pharmacy. Yeah.
Right.
Are
so
you guys allowed outside?
We're actually told to stay at home. It's like the whole it's like we're going back to the early days of the pandemic, which is pretty surreal because actually, in August of last year, I shot a video about going back to the mall after like months of closure. Mm-hmm. Mm. And now the malls are being closed again. So we're going back to square one.
Yeah, deja vu.
Yeah.
Shit. So like a month ago when you went to the mall, it was basically normal?
It was normal.
Shops were open, okay. Then now it's like back to early pandemic days.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How'd that feel though? Were you like the only one there?
No, actually, like maybe only 4 or 5 people in the bank with me. And jeez. Then only like a couple others in the supermarket. It's like there were not so many people.
Right.
I mean, since everything is closed.
I'm guessing it's, I can only imagine how depressing that is.
It is!
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but I guess maybe that's why suddenly Indonesians are so obsessed about this certain family's drama. Because they have a lot of time in their hands. Tell us about this family drama.
Oh my god. So you guys read the story, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Maybe give our listeners a little bit of a synopsis.
All right. So actually, when I wrote this story, I took my sweet time to read everything, and I tried to summarize the whole thing. And so
you were enjoying it, right? You were enjoying reading and absorbing every single juicy detail.
I actually watched the screen recordings of the Instagram stories. Uh-huh. They were initially posted by the wife of the steward. Uh-huh. I heard that they were actually taken from a live Instagram live, but I wasn't sure because the entire screen recordings that I saw appeared to be taken from Instagram stories. So yeah. Okay, let's continue. And then so the wife mm-hmm. Came to the house. The house it was actually like the official residence of the steward, I heard. Uh-huh. And it was the house that the steward and the wife and their child lived in. So I was actually kind of confused. I mean, how can you bring someone you're having an affair with to the house yeah. that you're actually living in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Yeah. And yeah. then so the wife and her family came to the house. And they caught the steward and the stewardess.
Dun, 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 dun.
And a lot of screaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the videos. It was just the mom. I think it was the mom. The mom uh-huh. shouting. And then I think it was the wife shouting from behind the camera.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not... and then there was just a lot of banging of the door because she really wanted the woman to come out.
Yeah,
and show herself, but she wasn't. She was like hiding behind the door of the bedroom, and then the husband was also shielding her because he didn't want the mistress to be exposed, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the wife was just like banging the door multiple times, like show herself.
And like trying to make
dramatic. It was like the best piece of reality show I've seen in so long.
It's like, you know what, like Black Horse Stories, they happen in, I think it's, I can't say it's weekly, but maybe a monthly occurrence.
Is there an epidemic?
I don't know. Maybe people are bored and they just started having affairs.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because malls are shut, hotels are shut, so they're all out yeah. having a fest. But there's this term that people are using. The term is called pelakor, and it's that's how they refer mistresses as.
Yeah.
What does that word mean? I think it stands for something, right?
Yeah. So pelakor means perebut laki orang.
Hmm.
Perebut laki orang means a woman who steals another woman's man.
So it seems like all of the attacks are people are all attacking this woman, not so much of the men, or are they attacking both?
I think for this case, they attack both, mm-hmm. but they shame the husband, but also the mistress. Though mm-hmm. most of the time, like for most Plakor stories, the public tend to shame the mistress more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Damn, like I didn't know that pelaku stories are like the norm in Indonesia. But what exactly stood out for this story? What exactly stood out the most out of all?
Maybe
of them?
because the wife bravely confronted the husband and exposed everything to the world. I mean, like there's this one part. I think you guys saw it. The wife told her husband, "Get away from there! I want to see the face of his jablay."
Uh huh.
What
jablay means? Whore. Oh, right. That's like some hardcore stuff right there.
Yeah, That's like awesome piece of content right there. But I feel so bad for the woman because the wife is pregnant, right? Like I could see like she was visibly pregnant.
Yeah.
There were a few moments where she actually appeared on camera. Like I could see her on camera. Like someone took over her phone or something.
Yeah, she's pregnant.
That. Yeah, yeah. And so this guy is a steward, and the mistress is also a steward.
Stewardess. Yeah,
the stewardess.
And the wife is actually the stewardess in the same airline.
What?
Wait. So they're all colleagues.
I don't know if they're exactly colleagues or not, but I think it's more likely that the husband and the mistress are colleagues, or maybe they were put in the same shift, like together most of the time. That's why they got close, I think.
That's some spicy stuff. I was wondering if there was like a sort of like Romeo and Juliet thing, because there has been an airline that has been named in here. So I'm like, are y'all fighting for the same airline, or you know, is this some airline on airline violence? Like, I want to know.
Star-crossed airlines.
That's why I'm trying to wonder like if there's like more drama to it, because like I don't understand like Bahasa, right? So I'm watching the videos and I'm crafting my own story in my head.
Yeah.
If anything.
And I mean this is like they were all working for the arguably the biggest budget airline in the country. So yeah, I get it why it's popular, because it's this airline.
Interesting. And yeah. I'd like to talk about some of the comments. They are so insightful. Like this one person who suggested you should use black magic and make your husband the human sacrifice. That way he will be at least useful for the family's finances. And I'm like, that is financial planning right there.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite comments.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. So this whole incident went viral, right? Like, but how viral is viral? Like, are we talking about like 10 million people talking about it? Because that's like a nationwide discussion right there.
Mm-hmm. It was a nationwide discussion. And also like every time I Googled the thing, like there are like numerous news articles popping up, and it was all about the, you know, like the personal matter. About the people involved. I mean, like, I think the wife uploaded the name tags of both the husband and the mistress, so their full names were everywhere.
Oh my gosh!
I mean the censorship here is pretty bad, because I saw that most news outlets here use their full names.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I was wondering about the laws about that. Like, I guess in Singapore, it might amount to doxing and you could go to jail or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so yeah. There are, I guess, some privacy concerns, you know, when you're outing your mistress. But do you think they have run amok of the law or something by doing that?
I mean, I haven't heard about the legal implications from this case. The only thing that happened was that the airline actually terminated the contracts for both the husband and the mistress.
Oh, no.
Because it's become like a corporate image issue.
Right. And it was announced by the wife.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the wife was like, hi guys, so the airline terminated the contract.
Yeah, I'm the new spokesperson for the airline now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I haven't heard anything from the airline. I mean, they haven't released any official statement regarding the matter, since it's actually a personal affair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, if we need any updates, we'll just head over to the wife's Instagram. It sounds like it's the go-to. It's the hot new website where you should get your news from. Like, should I start doing weather reports after this?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I'm guessing she's gotten new followers since this event.
Yeah. I wonder if she get like brand deals, you know?
Yeah.
I haven't checked her her Instagram page for like a week, but the last time I saw the profile, she had like I think 40,000, 50,000, I don't know, I forgot.
Wow. You know, once upon a time, people needed sex tape to become popular. Now you just got to get cheated on. And just
It's easier to be internet famous nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Just make sure Instagram Live is on, y'all.
Yeah.
Yep. Damn. Then for there was this other video, like towards the end, I saw like the security officers were there. Which made me wonder, like, what is this area considered to be as? Is it like a private property area? Like, why is there like security guards in the area to like help out with this situation?
I actually read the, I think in one of her Instagram stories, the wife said that she brought at least 4 security officers to the house.
Yeah, like
I think I think because it's within the areas of the airline's official residence.
Oh,
I think so. I'm not sure actually. Yeah, okay.
But that's usually how it is. Like airline staff have their own area where they live, and then there's like security services provided.
I'm actually not really familiar.
Okay, yeah. Because I thought like, wow, that escalated quickly. Like she brought in security guards to the house to defuse this family drama. And then there's the walk of shame after that.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering like, what was that for?
Yeah, yeah. I was like wondering like how, I mean, when we watched the videos, it obviously sounded very loud. Everyone's shouting. Mm-hmm. I can imagine being the neighbor. Like sleeping in the middle of the night and then suddenly like woken up to screams from next door, and then like you come out of the house, you see security guards outside, and then there's this like random woman you never seen before like walking out of your neighbor's house wearing a hoodie and trying to cover her face. Like, what's
like,
going
come
on
out, come out, I want to see your jambalized face.
Gosh, man. What else? How else have people been reacting to this? Other than like the black magic, which I thought was gold.
Yeah, it's gold. most people in the comments, they naturally side with the wife.
Mm.
Because they thought that the wife was brave. I mean, oh, you're so brave. You didn't cry.
Mm.
You were so angry. Wow, you're a role model. Maybe someone say that. I don't know. But, like, everyone was siding with the wife.
Yeah. There was one who suggested sending the husband for sacrifice for Hari Raya Haji.
Yeah.
Like, you should have sacrificed him instead of a sheep.
Oh, my God.
So ridiculous, my God. Oh, well. But for... how long has this... Like, have people been talking about this, actually? It seems like it's been going on for a while.
I think the news was from a week ago. Like, exactly after Eid al-Adha.
Yeah, oh, okay. My God, what a time to commit a scandal.
I know, right?
Yeah. I saw a photo, I think one of the screenshots that was circulated was a photo of the wife. I think she was posing with the husband's wallet. Then she found like a photo of the husband and the mistress in their uniform.
Yeah.
What's that about, man? Like, did he leave? He left the house then, leaving behind his wallet with evidence in it. Why would you do that?
I just think the husband was not sneaky enough.
It's so stupid, man. Yeah, but I don't know. I guess and maybe he wanted to be caught.
Maybe.
Drama. You know, like, he's trying to get that reality TV show contract, maybe.
Oh, my. But I think most people will just forget this in, like, months. But but if you try Googling their names, you can find articles such as profile and religion of the husband who had an affair with a fellow air hostess. Yeah, you can find articles like that in Indonesia. Mm. Profiles of the wife.
Wow. Really?
Why should I know what's going on in their lives?
Well, I guess if you're going to date someone, then it's easy to do background checks.
True that.
Yeah, right. Oh, you were the husband who was caught cheating.
Yeah. Unless they change their names, then I'm not sure whether. Do they add their photos in there?
So yeah, you can, like, uncensored photos.
Can I ask if adultery is illegal in Indonesia?
It's actually illegal.
That's why you
see that comment that actually suggested for the wife to file a police report, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, and this applies to every area across Indonesia or just certain states?
Across Indonesia.
Right. Okay. What? Sheesh. I mean, like in Singapore, it's not illegal. Like you can file for divorce and cite adultery, cheating as a reason for that. But even then, you got to prove. you got to actually prove to the court that your husband or your wife cheated on you, and text messages is not even enough. Like you got to prove that they actually slept together, which is damn weird. Yeah. Wow. There was this lawyer that I spoke to in Singapore who explained this to me and said that that's the reason why a lot of couples, like, even though like they want the divorce because either the husband or the wife cheated on each other, but the fact that it's very difficult for them to prove it, they end up just divorced citing irreconcilable differences.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Man. Yeah.
And it's so hard that you might even need, it's so hard to prove, you might even need to hire like a private investigator to get the kind of evidence that you need to present in court.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, but I don't know, Indonesia, like, what do they look at? Like, have you seen people being convicted of adultery, and what was that case like? What kind of evidence that was put forward?
No, I haven't actually seen anything like that before. But so in
men
the...
get away. The men get away with things.
But in Indonesia's criminal code for adultery, someone can get a sentence of 1 year in prison.
Is that maximum?
I think this is the maximum.
Not enough.
Oh man. And I would think they have enough evidence, like, just if you know, this was actually an Instagram live. Yeah, it feels like enough evidence for me, Your Honor. What do you think?
Wait, I think it's not 1 year, but it's actually 9 months.
All right.
So between 9 months to a year.
Right.
And
okay, that is if they get reported, which
true
sounds to me is quite rare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the wife actually said that she didn't end up reporting her husband and the mistress to the police because she thought that their firings were enough, so she didn't have to do anything, and then they're already shamed in public, so yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's basically justice served.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good for her then.
Yeah. But I'm not sure how she's gonna feel like 10 years from now when she sees she sees videos of this incident reappearing on her social media feed.
Oh yeah, actually, this is the thing that has been on my mind, like, every time I read Pelakor stories, it's like...
Do they regret posting?
Yeah, and also the people who post their significant other's Pelakor, something like this wife, and because the public made her seem like the hero. Right? Mm-hmm. And I think most Indonesians either forget or not realizing that it takes two to tango for an affair. Mm-hmm.
True.
I just think that it's plain old misogyny.
Yeah, man. If we're going to strive towards equality, we got to blame the dude too.
But I guess, but also it's quite because we're all giving judgments based on whatever we see in the Instagram video, and there might be more to the story. There might be more to the story, and it's difficult, you know. It's so obvious that the guy cheated on her. I mean, the video says it all. They even did the walk of shame. Video says it all. But there might be something else that happened outside, like before the video, that we didn't see.
Oh, actually, the wife also posted a screenshot of her WhatsApp conversation with the husband. I mean, prior to the bust. So actually...
He got raided.
So actually, their eldest daughter, I think, she was sick, and then the wife asked the husband to come home faster. Your child is sick. Please get home faster. But then the husband was like, I'll come home later. I'll come home later, and then he didn't show up until midnight. So that's why the wife come to the house, and then, yeah, did the whole thing.
It seems like it's been going on for a while. I mean, you've got the photo in the wallet. You've got, like, this guy just being really, just not meticulous in trying to cover his tracks. He seems, like, really tired of covering his tracks already. So it seems like it's been going on for a while.
We're all Sherlock.
Yes. Potential PI, private investigator here. Call me. My mode of investigation is social media only. When I watch the videos, I had to pause and then prepare my breakfast and then continue watching.
It's like different episodes in a season. Well, yes. Yeah. Nadia, you let us know when the next one comes out, like the next season comes out.
Or if there's a special episode.
Behind the scenes footage, never before seen, 2 hour long special.
Oh my.
Yeah, please give
maybe
us
let's see next. Maybe let's see this August. Maybe there's another flower story.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Should do like a bigger feature on this. We would definitely read through everything. Sure. Everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. Thanks so much, Nadia.
Thank you, Summer. Thank you, Nurul.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Take care. Well, that was fun. I think we learned a lot. I didn't know there was a whole genre. You guys have like coined a term, palako, like for this whole genre of video. Amazing.
Yeah, I didn't know that it's so normal to have these kind of stories come out of Indonesia.
Yeah, man. I'm like, what do I have to subscribe to? This should be like its own like platform to rival Netflix. Like, it's just exclusively about cheating stories.
Yeah, and just like subscribe. A channel. Yeah, I'm the first subscriber.
Yeah, or are you guys like on a Slack where you discuss all of this? Please add us.
Yeah, waiting on Nadia to fill us in with the details.
Yeah, man. Or I guess we can just follow the wife's Instagram. I guess she is spilling the tea daily. And now that she has 50,000 followers, I guess we'll have to stay tuned if she starts doing like brand deals and sponsored content.
Yeah, or like tips about cheating husbands,
right? Oh my gosh, like kind of like a Dia Prada kind of watchdog kind of thing where you send in like who's cheating on who. Oh my god, I'm down. Please, if you want to set it up, please call me.
Awesome. That is the content, kind of content that I'm here for.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned.
Okay, and that's all for this week. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. I hope you were entertained, informed, and cried some tears with us today. Mm. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support Coconuts and our weird and wondrous stories, you can become a Coco Plus member at coconuts.co/membership, make a patron payment at coconuts.co/patron, or buy our fresh merch at the Coconut Shop at shop.coconuts.co.
Subscribe to the podcast and leave reviews. Tell us how you feel and what you like and don't like. We're excited to hear from you. The Coconuts Podcast delivers impactful, weird, and wondrous reporting by a journalist on the ground in 8 cities. Singapore, Bangkok, Hong Kong, Manila, Jakarta, Kuala Lumpur, Yangon, and Bali. Listen to headline news and insightful interviews on matters large and small, designed for people located in or curious about Southeast Asia and Hong Kong.
The Coconuts Podcast is a Coconuts Media production. Our hosts are Summer Lee and Nurul Azlia. Our executive producer is Byron Perry. Our production manager is Clarissa Cortez. And our editor is Rainer Lim.